On a midweek Wednesday, January 8th, we welcomed back Brian Boyd to the show. He's joined us in the past, and he gave us his opinion on what's been going on with the U.S. and Iraq, drawing on his experience as both a military and intelligence veteran. Also, I had some thoughts regarding the latest buzz out of the Capitol from Democrats on so-called trucks-only tolls. Now to the tolls, because apparently they are coming. It certainly looks it. This broke last night. Our friend, a good friend of the program, Christine Stewart, put this up on her website, ctnewsjunkie.com. I urge you to bookmark that and check it out on a daily basis. A lot of the stuff that doesn't get covered by the local papers in Hartford, in New Haven, and in Bridgeport, she covers it very well. After hours of closed-door talks on Tuesday, State Senate President Martin Looney of New Haven emerged to tell reporters they have, now here's the language they're using, kids. You folks that drive trucks, here we go. It's coming right at you. Get out the Vaseline. I'm sorry to say that, but that's, listen, it is what it is. Don't like it, turn the show off. They have a contingent consensus. I have to be careful when I say that. Democrats have a contingent consensus on a truck-only tolling plan. That means of the 22 Democratic senators, now remember there's 36 members of the state Senate, so Democrats would need 18. They don't need 19 because Susan Bisewitz, as a Democrat, she would break a tie in the state Senate, much the way that the vice president of the U.S., whomever that is, breaks a tie in the U.S. Senate. If the Senate's tied 50-50, the VP ostensibly can go in there and break a tie and vote one way or another. So that means that of the 22 Democrats on the state Senate, right now it's 22-14, he says, now he didn't say they voted yet. He didn't say they're going to vote yes. That's what Martin Looney said. Understand this. And we'll play the audio for you in a second. He said they have a contingent consensus on a truck-only tolling plan. That means of the 22 Democratic Senate members, 18, quote, have not rejected the concept of a bill to toll trucks on bridges only. So what he is saying here, you'll hear the audio momentarily. What Martin Looney is saying here is he's saying, well, if we go with the trucks only on bridges only, we're going to put certain sweeteners in there. You'll hear him explain this whole thing in a moment. Certain sweeteners that they'll say, okay, I'll vote for it. Now, again, folks, you've got to understand something. You cannot forget this come November, because apparently enough arms have been twisted and they think, well, it's trucks only. Okay. They think that you will think, oh, it's only trucks. It's trucks only. So they'll never tow my car. You cannot believe that. Do you understand what I'm saying? You cannot believe that. Do not believe them when they say it's trucks only. Well, Paul, why are you saying that? Because I can. That's why. Because I've lived in this state for all but 4.5 of my 58 years. Do not believe them when they say it's trucks only. And we're going to hear all this rhetoric about, no, 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 we're going to put safeguards in there. Listen, any lock can be picked. All right. Any safe can be cracked. Any software can be hacked. Any window can be broken. Shall I continue? You know where I'm going here? So what you're going to hear from Martin Looney and Bob Duff and Norwalk and Will Haskell in Westport and Carlo Leone in Stamford, all you Fairfield County folks, you're going to hear this thing about, well, there's going to be safeguards. Do not believe them. Do not believe them, because we were lied to about the state income tax. We were lied to about the gas tax increase after the Mianis River Bridge tragedy in the early 80s. We were lied to about two tax increases under Governor Dana Malloy. do not believe anything out of their mouths untold. Do you understand me? Now, you may think I'm wrong. Fine. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. So you have two. You have, actually, I want you to do three things. I want you to, number one, not believe them. Number two, I want you to remember who votes to take more money out of the pockets of truckers and people who buy stuff that's delivered by those trucks. Remember that this November. If they're going to jam these tolls through, okay, then you have to make them pay at the ballot box. You do. You do. Because, it again, this will not be trucks only. Don't believe that. Think about the number of times that we have been lied to in this state over and over and over again. And think about the number of times every year, every other year, especially now, the same way that we have the budget adjustment session coming up in Hartford. Every other year, oh, we're in the red. We have to cut this and cut that. Our projections didn't come to fruition. Remember all that. So, number one, I want you to not believe them. Number two, I want you to remember who they are and vote against them coming up this November. You know what? Like our buddy Patrick Sasser says, his new slogan is support tolls, lose at the polls. That's the second thing we have to do. The third thing we have to do after we do those two, or in the process of doing those two, you need to contact if you are against these tolls, these truck-only tolls, which will not be truck-only tolls eventually. It may take a few years, but they will morph into car tolls, okay? Anybody who thinks we're going to put these gantries up to just toll trucks is nuts, okay? You need to contact and do this respectfully, do it professionally, do it with calm language in a letter, do it with calm, dignified language in an email. Be very nice. Be very pleasant if you get through to the Senate offices in Hartford on the Democratic side. You tell them, I am highly disappointed in you. We do not need tolls on Connecticut roads. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. 26 after 2, traffic and weather together as we continue. And I remind you again, do not believe them that it will be trucks only. Remember, every lock can be picked.
And there's significant concern in seeing the plan not center only on highway development, but on also a commitment to better bus transportation. That was another concern raised. There's still some concern about the precise configuration of the tolls on those bridges. So those are issues that members have said, if they are resolved to their satisfaction, they could indeed then vote for a trucks on bridges only toll proposal.
Okay, so I just want to recap. You might not have 18 yeses, but you don't have 18 noes. I mean, that's what I'm not clear about.
We don't have more than four noes that would defeat a toll bill altogether. Right.
All right, so, and there's Marty Looney from yesterday. He had Bob Duff in Norwalk standing right next to him with a very approving look on his face. Here's what I don't understand, and you tell me whether I'm nuts here. Now, Marty Looney, and I've known Marty for years, he's a real operator. Marty Looney gets up there and says, well, you know, we're concerned about urban bus routes. So wait a minute now, we're tying tolls on trucks to urban bus routes. So it took you how many years? He said, well, those urban bus routes, they haven't been adjusted in so many years. Okay, what was stopping you? See, this is a trick Democrats do. They always do this. They say, well, we know this is unpopular, but look at the other stuff we want to do. What stopped you from doing the other stuff in the first place? What stopped you from doing that? Well, we're going to have better oversight of the DOT. Why didn't we have better oversight of the DOT 10, 15 years ago? Now, because you want tolls? All of a sudden, ding, 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 we have to have better oversight of the DOT? Come on, man. What am I missing here? 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. It's amazing. Well, you know, we need better oversight of the DOT. Yeah, we've needed that for about 20 years, Senator, with all due respect. Unreal. You know, the urban bus routes are not good for our city dwellers. Yeah, they're not. Why haven't you touched them in 10 years? He's been with us a couple of times before. You may remember him, a 30-year professional intelligence analyst, counterterrorism specialist, former Green Beret, part of the Joint Special Operations Command, which oversees Special Forces, SEAL Team 6, and Delta Force as well. He's also served in three separate federal departments, Defense, Justice, and Treasury. And we welcome back to WICC, Brian Boyd. Hey, Brian, Paul again in Bridgeport. How are you, sir?
Nice to talk to you again.
Well, Brian, you probably sucked up all the info you can from last night into today. What was your impression of what happened last night on both sides in Iraq between Iran and the U.S.? And maybe more importantly, Brian, what didn't happen? What do you think?
Are you talking about the attack on the military compound?
Yeah.
Well, there's two theories on that. One, it was an intentional miss, because they are extremely accurate missiles they were using. Number two, it's more of a sword-rattling approach, and I believe the Iranian government was doing this to try and show some degree of strength in retaliation. But you have to be realistic about what's going on over there. So let me give you a short lesson.
Sure.
Politically, about many weeks ago, before this taking out Soleimani, there was political widespread demonstrations of the Iranian people against the Islamic regime for two reasons. One, their rights were obviously being cut back. They were losing economically, and they were seeing the wastefulness of Soleimani and the policy of the Iranian government to engage in foreign wars, which was bleeding the country dry. Well, the Quds Force, which is the elite force of Soleimani, were killing thousands of Iranian demonstrators. Okay, so you have to understand the mood in Iran was not good.
Yeah.
And with the death of Soleimani, the Iranian government's trying to get the focus on that until the finally buried in a week or so. In a week or so, it'll go back to civil unrest, and the sanctions will cause more and more grief. So that's part of what's going on over there. But the issue of corruption and the economic issues are causing revolt with the Iranian people. Was Soleimani loved? Perhaps, but he was hated also, and I do believe they were fearful of him becoming a dictator. The sequence of events historically in Iran, it could lead to him becoming the dictator of Iran when the Khomeini revolts or something changes in his party. So there's a lot of interesting intrigue going on in Iran, and much of it has to do with the fact of his power. He was very powerful.
Brian Boyd, what about the notion of taking him out? You know, there's a big, at least on the face of it, a 50-50 split saying, hey, you essentially whacked the vice president of Iran. But then there are people who say, wait a minute, this guy was traveling where he shouldn't have been. He is a military man. He's in a war zone. We had this quote unquote intelligence of what he might have been doing or might be planning. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me give you a nonpartisan answer, because I think it is perhaps important in history. But I won't go back to the 79 taking of the American embassy in Iran.
Yeah.
We didn't do anything about for 444 days, remember. So what's going on is this. During the Obama administration, the same process of decision-making takes place there as it does in the Trump administration. When they're in the room, you've got the vice president, you've got the secretary of defense, the secretary of state, security advisors, the CIA, all these people who are trying to make an intelligent decision as we go through crises. In Bob Gates' book called Duty, he recounts being in the room with Joe Biden. This is not attacking Joe Biden. And they voted against going after bin Laden because the intelligence assessment was 40% accurate. They were not sure he was in that compound. And the option was a drone strike, which could have killed him, but they wouldn't have had verification. A bomb would have taken him out, but they decided to use Americans to go in to capture the gentleman and to be able to bring him back to justice, not necessarily to kill him, but to capture him. Okay? Obviously, if he shot back, that was part of the game plan. So they went in prepared for a shootout. The bottom line is this. Everybody was happy with that, and we went into a foreign country, went into Pakistan to do that, okay? Now, in the current thing with Soleimani, we did the same thing. Now, I saw a take not too long ago where Susan Rice was on TV, and she said, since Soleimani was declared a terrorist during their administration, had they had the chance, they probably would have done it too. And she made it clear they didn't have the opportunity to take him out. So you got to remember, regardless of your political affiliation, the opportunity was to go after this guy before he committed more crimes. The difference is, since I was in the intelligence game for over 30 years, the intelligence in this particular instance was accurate, precise, and they knew what he was about to do. So we're much more sophisticated in our intelligence capabilities, and with the ability to do a drone strike, do minimal damage.
Former Green Beret Brian Boyd is with us. He's been with us before, giving us Middle East perspective. I know this is probably stuff because of your background and your history and what you did you cannot say, but Brian, I've always been fascinated with the ability to track these guys, the potential targets, as you say. I know some of it can be done, obviously, with satellites and radio intercepts, but is this a scenario where we have actual people? Do we have assets in Iran at levels of the Iranian government who may be able to, you know, tip us off to what guys like Soleimani are doing?
I'm sure that's possible. Historically, going all the way back to George Washington, there's always spies, and spies do exist. They're called human assets. Our human capability kind of died away during the Carter administration when we started to break that down, and we started depending more on satellite and signals intelligence. But like any other opportunity, you've got to remember the majority of the Iranian people want freedom. That's what is going on in Iraq. They want freedom. They see the Western world. During the Shah's era, they were not requiring them to wear, to have women covered up. In fact, the Shah was giving them rights and having their land returned that was seized by the mullahs. But with the theocracy that's taken the Iranian government back to the 6th century, you got to remember, too many of those Iranians do not want to live under that kind of situation. So there's a lot of people in the government, there's a lot of people in various businesses and power who certainly are supportive of trying to rid themselves of this kind of terrible regime. Again, that's why these people were rioting in the streets and demonstrating, but thousands of these people were killed by the Quds force to try and eliminate this. Any type you have a dictatorship, that's what dictators do. They try to kill the opposition. You've seen this in other countries.
Yeah. Brian, hang on. We'll be right back to you. Fascinating insights always from our buddy Brian Boyd. We'll be right back to him. Brian is a 30-plus year intelligence officer, counterterrorism specialist. He's a former U.S. Green Beret, part of the leadership of the Joint Special Operations Command, as well as putting in time in the Departments of Defense, Justice, and Treasury as well. Brian, hang on. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Traffic and weather together on the as we continue on Connecticut Today for a Wednesday. And we continue a few more minutes with a great guest. We've had him on a couple times before. Great perspective on things like what happened in Iran and Iraq and maybe didn't happen last night. Brian Boyd, 30-plus year, professional intelligence analyst, military veteran, worked for a time in both the, rather at all three, the Defense, Justice, and Treasury departments. Brian, we had mentioned a bit earlier regarding what happened last night or what didn't happen. Are you buying at all, Brian, this intentional miss kind of thing? Because I heard all these analysts last night saying, well, there were bigger U.S. bases within closer range. What do you think of all that?
Well, I take the same position that some of the other people have been on live TV recently, including McSally, the senator from Arizona, who had served more recently in that part of the world than I did. And the thing is, it's a good estimate. You have to figure they could have attacked. If they had killed or messed up the hair of one American citizen, we wouldn't be talking about how things are going today. There would have been an immediate reaction to the source of that launch. We know where they're launched from. It's not hard to see and feel and know what's going on. Our intelligence capabilities are enormously better than when I was first in the business. Okay? So the point is this. Had they harmed anybody, the reaction would have been totally different. So So this president is being very careful not to conduct it into a warlike relationship. When I hear opposing parties say this was an irresponsible act, I think any prudent person who had the intelligence, I mean, the source of intelligence that was that accurate would have made the same decision. So I say this in fairness to any president of the United States. We've had 45 of them. Anybody in that position of power has got to make any type of preemptive thing to stop American lives being taken. So you have to give the guy a lot of credit because he did do that. The military did its job. We're very good at what we do. And that business is very, very precise. We don't want to risk American lives. We don't want to risk American servicemen. And so if you don't stop this kind of craziness on behalf of that regime in its tracks, you're going to continue to be bullied and bullied and bullied. And there has to be a point in life. Let me throw another analogy in here.
Sure.
In 2014, what prompted me to start being more public, and I put together a briefing on the history of special operations intelligence for some of the service clubs and organizations, civic organizations where I live. And what I tried to do, the reason I did it is when James Foley was beheaded by Jihadi John, nobody got upset. We were hung up on what was going on in Ferguson, Missouri. I understand that was an issue, but nobody really got upset. And I was amazed that the American journalistic industry didn't get extremely angry at this beheading. And then you had Steve M. Sotloff beheaded, another journalist, and then two aid workers. And still, we didn't take a serious, serious reaction. We let this occur. Now, that bothered me as an American citizen. It bothered me that we were not going after these people. And if you can allow that kind of thing to happen on international television and prove that the American government was too weak or too insipid to take action, I think this is why people are applauding this action now, because this man had his hands in that as well. Soleimani has been around this business for 20 years, conducting these kind of operations and running it with his Quds force for the longest time. The ironic thing is that the Iranian population, just prior to his being taken out, is basically demonstrating for freedom and rights. Think about the possibilities of the future in Iran. If they start to be more peaceful, stop intervening in other countries, they have a chance to be part of the world stage as a normal country.
Yeah, you know, Brian, what people don't understand, and I used to have an expert actually a few years ago that I used to go to, is a college professor from Iran who used to teach in an area college around here in Connecticut. And he used to go back and forth, you know, all the time, Brian, two or three times a year to visit his family in Tehran and come back here and teach. And he always used to tell me, he said, people forget that they lost, both Iran and Iraq, they lost an entire generation of men in that godforsaken Iran-Iraq war in the 80s. So Iran is one of the youngest countries in the world. And he said the thing that would make him laugh was seeing these, you know, 20-somethings chanting death to America while they had their iPods listening to Madonna and wearing jeans and, you know, looking at magazines with Ford pickup trucks in them.
Yeah, that's true. And Soleimani had his teeth cut in his young 20s because of his bitterness towards Iraq. Remember, the war over there is not so much against Americans. It's from two Islamic faiths, Shia versus Sunni. You have to go back as to why Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. He told his population it was to bring back his 19th province. The real reason he invaded is because he needed access to the sea to get his oil out. He used the ruse of weapons of mass destruction because there was an FBI agent went over when he was being tried by the Iraqi courts before he was hung, and he admitted that he created the larger ruse of weapons of mass destruction in his mind, and he was doing it to keep the Iranians from invading his country. However, he did have weapons of mass destruction. He had chemical weapons, and when you tell people you're going to come over and inspect you and you tell them you're going to be there in 19 or 10 months, you got a long time to move your chemical weapons. So, you know, when people go back and forth as to whether or not that was realistic or not, it'd be like telling me I'm going to arrest you for doing some major crime and I'll be there in a month and a year and a half to come get you. So, you know, you have to be logical. People have to start being smarter. People need to study civics. They need to study world history to understand what's really going on and put it in perspective and stay out of partisan politics.
Brian, final question. We have about a minute and a half to go. So, I'm suspecting this last night, and sure enough, we hear it today now. Well, the back channel talks are already going on between the U.S. and Iran through, Sweden, Switzerland, and one of those wonderful little happy Nordic countries where everybody smiles. What do you think you think they've said to each other, like a hockey fight? Listen, you got your shot, I got my shot. Let's all calm this down. What do you think is going on right now?
Well, the extremists over there are not in any position or mood to talk back channel. The back channel talking is probably with the more moderate Iranians, the Iranians who want to live in peace, that are tired of Soleimani having international forays into other countries, Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq, which has nothing to do with the Iranian people. They want to live in freedom. They don't want to be under sanctions, and they want the sanctions lifted. But the only weapon we have is sanctions. So you have to applaud President Trump for using sanctions, which is a lot better. And through the back channel process, you can finally get more moderates to eventually run the country without a warfare footing all the time.
Brian, thanks. We really appreciate it. 30-year professional intelligence analyst, counterterrorism specialist, former Green Beret, part of the leadership of the Joint Special Operations Command, which oversees special forces, SEAL Team 6, Delta Force. He's also worked in the Departments of Defense, Justice, and Treasury. Brian, I know I asked you last time if you were going to write a book. You said no, but fascinating anyway. I appreciate it. Brian, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Good to talk to you.
All right. God bless America.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.